إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 22nd session, reading from At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li-Shajarat al-Iman, the clarification and elucidation of the Tree of Faith by Al-Imam Abdurrahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'adi, rahimahullah. Tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to deal with the final point that the author, rahimahullah, mentions in this second section, Al-Fasl Al-Thani, concerning the mention of those things from which Iman is derived, and those things which strengthen Iman and increase Iman. And so, just as a reminder, in the first section we dealt with the definition of Iman and its evidences and proofs. And in this section we dealt with those things from which Iman is derived and how it is strengthened and increased. So this is the final point that the author, rahimahullah, makes concerning the things from which Iman is derived, or it is strengthened, or increased. And before we look at this final point, keeping in mind that after this, inshallah, in the coming sessions, Allah willing, we'll be going into the third fasl, fasl al-thalith, which are the fruits and benefits of Iman. And in my view, yani, after what we have covered in the first two sections, this is going to be a gift from Allah to yani, be reminded and reassured, and to emphasize and to confirm the innumerable fruits and benefits of Iman. So tonight, inshallah, before we go into the final point of the second section, from those things from which Iman is derived or increased, we're going to look over some of the points that we covered last week in the questionnaire study guide number 21. First question being, explain what the author means when he says calling to aslu ad-din, aslu ad-din, and calling to iltizam shara'ihi through enjoining al-ma'ruf and forbidding al-munkar. And what is intended by calling to ad-da'wa ila aslu ad-asli ad-din? وَالْتِزَامْ شَرَائِهِ. Anybody? طيب, طالب.
With it, the slave completes his own self and also completes others.
These things that are mentioned, these things that he mentions here from Surah Al-Asr, are those things through which a person completes himself and others. But the question here is specifically related to the expressions. And what are the meaning of these expressions? Aslu ad-deen. What does he mean by calling to aslu ad-deen? And what does he mean by this Arabic expression? Iltizam shara'ihi. What is the meaning of this? Now, Abdul Wali.
By calling or enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, and enjoining patience by calling to the foundations of the religion.
Okay.
Completes himself and he completes others.
Calling to the foundation of the religion, the first expression is referring to this. Yani, the statement of the author included several points. Yani, calling to Allah, calling to the deen of Allah, enjoining the truth, and enjoining patience. And he said, in addition to that, calling to asluddin. So here, the point that I wanted to bring out here with this question is, yani, the expression asluddin, what does that actually refer to? Yani, it refers to the asl, the usul, yani the foundation of the deen, which is, yani, al-iman, iman, tawheed, iman. And iltizam, this expression means to stick to adhere to something. Yani, to adhere to what? Shara'ihi. Yani, shara'i is the plural of sharia. So the meaning here is calling to the foundation of the deen, that is al-iman, and also calling people to adhere to the laws, the divine laws that Allah has legislated. Yani the asl of the deen, as well as, yani what is intended here is the, yani laws, the obligations, the things that Allah has commanded us with and prohibited us from. And that is, yani the way to call to that is by al-amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi al munkar, munkar, yani calling, yani commanding that which is good according to the sharia, and forbidding that which is munkar according to the sharia, which includes not only the sinful things, yani like evil and corruption, but it also includes abandoning obligatory duties. Second question, mention the four sifat of those who would be saved from loss, as mentioned in Surah Al-Asr, in the Quran, 103rd Surah, 3rd Ayah. What are the four sifat, the four characteristics? Naam. Qasim. Al-Iman, number one, okay. And also calling to patience, uh-huh. What goes with Iman? Al-Amal al-Salih. Naam. Iman and righteous deeds. And then, he said, after that, the other two? Naam, enjoining upon one another the truth, uh-huh. And then, enjoining upon one another, or enjoining upon any others, as well as ourselves, any patience. And here I just want to note that, well, we'll just go to the next question. Okay, so four characteristics, having iman, doing righteous deeds that are, yani, a part of iman. And then, yani, calling to the truth. Yani, not being satisfied with yourself, but calling to the truth, and also patience upon all of these things. Question number three. Discuss briefly the benefit and result of possessing the first two of these four characteristics. What is the benefit and result? Briefly. Now,
A person completes himself.
Yani by iman, having iman and righteous deeds, then you complete and perfect your own relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the duties that are upon you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the benefit, the result of the first two characteristics is that it is takmil and nafs. That you complete and perfect your own self, which is first and foremost. Question number four. Discuss briefly the benefit and result of possessing the last two of these four characteristics. Now, Duwali.
First,
the completion of others. Yani through calling people to the truth, to the deen of Allah, yani to beneficial knowledge and righteous deeds and the religion of truth, and then also calling to patience. In the process of that, then you are able to complete others by da'wah, a da'wah ila Allah wa ila yani asluddin. And the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, compliance with that. Question number five. How will Allah aid those who strive to complete other people in their deen? How will Allah reward those whose efforts are to complete others in their deen, advising them and enjoining the truth upon them?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase them as well.
Allah will increase them. Yani al-jazam and jins al-amal. Yani with this, in agreement with the effort that they made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them by increasing them in... In what?
In their iman.
Okay, increasing their iman. The author, he mentioned four things. Now,
Allah will aid them from his light.
He will aid them with a light from himself, a nur from himself. And also?
Strengthening the iman.
Ruh. And also a ruh, yani, spirit. And strengthening, yani, strengthening their iman and strengthening their tawakkul. And strengthening their tawakkul. Yani, strengthening their iman, which is the core of the matter, and strengthening their tawakkul, which is one of the greatest of the actions of the heart. A tawakkul. Reliance, dependence, putting one's total trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the exclusion of everyone and anything else. Number six, memorize the ayah from 16th surah, 99th ayah, 1699, where Allah mentions two descriptions of those whom shaitan will have no authority over. Whom shaitan will have no authority over. Naam, fadl. Follow.
إنه ليس له سلطان على أمن
على الذين
على الذين آمنوا على
وعلى
وعلى ربهم يتوكلون
يتوكلون أحسنت ما شاء الله جزاك الله خير. يعني indeed إنه ليس له سلطان. Indeed, certainly, definitely, surely he will have no sultan, no authority over who? Alladhina amanu, those who have iman, and who? يتوكلون على ربهم يتوكلون. Those who put their trust, who depend upon and rely upon Allah, who have no authority over them. The people have iman. So this is like critical for us. Yani to know that if we are the people of iman and we're guarding and protecting and preserving our iman and nourishing it and strengthening it and trying to increase it, that from amongst the important things that we need to have protection from shaitan, who is the worst enemy of the human being. Yani we have to put our trust in Allah as well. We have to put our trust in Allah as well. طيب, question number 7. What are the two important sifat which the author, rahimahullah, says will determine the extent of one's success in da'wah? Yani two things he mentioned, that if a person is working in da'wah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them success in knowledge, in the area of knowledge, and also in the area of iman. But dependent upon, in accordance with two characteristics now. In accordance with their sincerity and
having basirah, having insight upon what they're calling to.
Specifically, of course you have to have the insight in what you're calling to. But he specifically mentioned two characteristics, and the question, really the purpose of the question is to remind us of these two important characteristics. He said, Naam?
Was it that must be based on call to Allah alone?
There are a lot of characteristics that are necessary for da'wah and that are from the characteristics of success. But specifically the author mentioned two things here. And we want to like meticulously try to follow this great imam and why he chose these two characteristics. Yani, that means that there's some great importance of these characters or others. He mentioned as-sidq and al-ikhlas. As-sidq and al-ikhlas. As-sidq and al-ikhlas. And this is a reminder to us of the importance of as-sidq, along with al-ikhlas. Yani doing whatever we do with the objective, that is to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing it sincerely for Allah alone, not for any other benefit or any other expectation or goal or anticipation of anything from anyone or anywhere. But also having sidq in that deed. Yani doing it, yani emptying from our heart everything that would distract us or occupy us from that deed that we are doing. And then exerting ourselves totally and fully to the best, to the fullest of our ability in doing that thing. This is very, very important. That's the sidq. That's the sidq. Now, giving it 100% to it. Not being lazy, not being, you know, unconcerned, but giving yourself to it fully. Giving yourself to it fully. Being sincere is one thing, but then a person might be sincere and they don't have the... They're not energetic. They're not enthusiastic about it. They don't really give themselves fully to it. And so this is important, yani for yani the extent of our success. The last question is, list 10 matters mentioned by the author which iman is derived from, caused by our strength and through. And again, the purpose here is to remind us of some of the things that we covered previously. The first thing that the author mentioned, of those things that strengthen iman or causes of iman, now. Before recitation of the Quran, he said, that ma'rifat asma'illahi al-husna, knowing the names of Allah and being diligent in seeking to understand their meanings and to worship Allah by them. And then he said, the tadabbur al-Qur'an, yani reflection and contemplation on the Qur'an. After that he mentioned two other things that are related to each other. The knowledge of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then, yani knowing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, his life, his characteristics, his qualities, and so on. Naam. And then after that he mentioned what? تَدَبَّرَتْ الْآيَةِ الْقَوْنِيَةِ, yani reflecting upon the creation, the universe, the creation of the heavens and the earth, and what they contain, that indicate the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and His wisdom and His knowledge and His power and His generosity. And the second one, and after that he mentioned along with that, and before he said increase in dhikr, related to the creation of Allah, he said reflecting upon the ni'm of Allah, the bounties, the blessings, the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are general and that are specific. And then he said after that, the dhikr, yani ikthar, yani increasing in the dhikr of Allah all the time, and the dua, which is the yani mukh al ibadah. And then after that he said, knowing the mahasan of deen, yani hasan of Islam, yani the merits of Islam, the beautiful aspects of Islam. And then he said, al-ihsan in ibadatillah and al-ihsan al-khalq, yani striving to realize, to achieve, yani the station of ihsan in our relationship in worshipping Allah and in our dealings with the people, and then after that he mentioned a number of characteristics from Surah 2, Al-Mu'minun, and then the last thing that we mentioned last week was calling to Allah and calling to the Deen of Allah, and whatever came with that from Surah Al-Asr. So, yani, there are actually more than 10 points that he mentioned, but yani, if we get 10 of them, mashallah. I advise myself and each one of us to look at these points and to focus on them a little bit, reflect on them, go back over them, and try to exert ourselves in every one of these areas. But also along with that, knowing that we are human beings and defective, trying to pick out one or two or three of them that we have a natural ability, a gift from Allah to exert ourselves in and work with that. Yani, if you can't do everything, then yani, take something and do it well. Look at some of these things. Some of them may be easier for us than others. Some of them may be easier for us than others. Try to pick out the ones that are easier for you. Don't leave any of them, but focus on that which Allah has given you a gift in, the ability to do. After this, tonight, inshallah, we're going to start reading from, in the English translation, the top of page 61. Yani, it covers on page 61 and 62. And in Arabic, we're going to start reading from the same 61, but from the bottom, in the Arabic text, from the bottom of page 61, going through page 64. And perhaps if you consider that in the Arabic, that it's 3 pages and a little bit from the bottom of 61, and in English only 2 pages, that should be an indication of something. Naam. So, unfortunately, once again, yani, some words have been left out, some sentences have been left out. Rather, one page has been left out. The last page in Arabic, it wasn't translated at all. So, when we come to the last page, please make a note. Yani, try to reflect on some of the points that we cover there. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So, we'll start with, yani, from the first page, 61. The author begins, yani, this section, Faslun. وَمِنْ أَحَمِّ مَوَادِ الْإِيمَانِ وَمُقَوِّيَاتِهِ تَوْطِينَ النَّفْسِ عَلَى مُقَاوَمَاتِ مَا يُنَافِي الْإِيمَانِ مِنْ شُعْبِ الْكُفْرِ وَالنِّفَاقِ وَالْفُسُوقِ وَالْعِسْيَانِ. And from amongst the most important matters of Iman, yani elements, essential elements of Iman, and the things that strengthen Iman, is تَوْطِينَ النَّفْسِ على مقاومات ما ينافي الإيمان. يعني that a person make an effort to put their يعني to encourage, to push, to urge their nafs, to prepare their nafs to resist, to struggle against, to fight against whatever opposes and contradicts Iman. Yani tawteen and nafs, Allahu alam, yani the meaning of it for me is a little bit difficult, but what is intended by it is that a person prepare their nafs, yani encourage, push, urge their nafs to do something particular. Yani, and that is here to resist, to fight against, to struggle against everything that contradicts Iman, everything that opposes Iman. And then he said specifically, from the shu'ub, yani the branches of al-kufr, disbelief, and nifaq, hypocrisy, al-fusuq, and al-isyan. Al-fusuq and al-isyan, when they come together, generally mean al-fusuq, the greater sins, and al-isyan, the lesser sins. Sometimes referred to as major and minor sins. I would prefer to say the greater sins, because there's nothing minor about a sin, right? But some are greater and some are less than others. So the point here, and this is the introduction and the summary of the whole affair, from amongst the most important elements of Iman and the things that strengthen Iman, is preparing oneself, encouraging oneself, taking seriously the matter of resisting, struggling against, fighting against everything that contradicts Iman. And this has to be a serious matter that we take seriously. We have to prepare our nafs to resist, to struggle against whatever contradicts Iman, whatever opposes Iman. And he mentions specifically 4 areas, yani the branches of disbelief, all branches of disbelief, the branches of nifaq, all branches of hypocrisy, of different types of hypocrisy, whether it is nifaq, al-amali, or i'tiqadi. Because there's hypocrisy in deeds. And there's hypocrisy in creed, in what a person believes. That is a person who's not a Muslim. And hypocrisy in i'tiqad is that a person is not a Muslim. They're a hypocrite. They don't really believe. But hypocrisy in amal means what? That a person does the deeds that are like the deeds of the hypocrites. But that doesn't mean that the person is a hypocrite. And all the branches of al-fusuq and al-isyan, of all types of sins. After this, the Shaykh, he says, the reason why we have to struggle against everything that opposes and contradicts iman, فَإِنَّهُ كَمَا أَنَّهُ لَا بُدَّ فِي الْإِيمَانِ مِنْ فِعْلِ جَمِيعِ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمُقَوِّيَةِ الْمُنَمِّيَةِ لَهُ. Just as it is a necessity, it is incumbent, yani, as it relates to iman, that we do all of those things that are the causes of strengthening iman and causing iman to grow. Just as we have to take all of those means that strengthen iman and cause it to grow, فَلَا بُدَّ مَعَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ دَفْعِ الْمَوَانِي وَالْأَوَائِقِ. So likewise, along with that, in addition to doing the things that strengthen iman and cause it to grow, we must also at the same time, yani, repulse, push back the mawani', yani the things that prevent iman, the barriers to iman, wal-awaiq, yani the obstacles along the road. In trying to establish iman and strengthen iman, there will be barriers that block the way, and there will be obstacles that you have to get around. So, he said here what? It is also of a necessity that we repulse, that we push back all of those barriers and all of those obstacles. وَهِيَ and to do that, what we have to do is الْإِقْلَاعُ. And here I want to say that the translation is, yani, has left some points out that are critically important. So, yani, actually, we can count them as five matters that he mentions here. And in the translation, maybe they mention four of them. Or they mention, yani, seeking forgiveness and feeling remorse, which is actually tawbah. But that's one thing. Before that, the author mentions al-iqla'u an al-ma'asi. That's not mentioned in the book. And that's critically important. Yani, that a person abstain and refrain and desist and pull back from al-ma'asi, sin. That they stop sinning. Then he mentions at-tawbah, repentance. Yani, feeling remorse and turning to Allah, seeking, yani, that Allah accept our repentance and forgive us. So the first point that he mentions, and they can go together, is that a person abandoning al-ma'asi, sinning, and then they make tawbah, repentance, from those sins that they have stopped doing. مِمَّا يَقَعُ مِنْهَا Yani, repenting from that which he has fallen into. And then he mentions after that, حَفْظُ الْجَوَارِ كُلِّهَا عَنَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ. حَفْظ الْجَوَارِ, protecting, guarding, preserving the limbs of the body, كُلِّهَا, all of them. That means the hands, the feet, the eyes, the tongue. Protecting and preserving الْجَوَارِ كُلِّهَا عَنَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ. Guarding one's limbs of the body from all of them, from that which Allah has made forbidden, unlawful. Abandoning sinning, repenting from what we have fallen into, and then making the effort to protect ourselves from engaging in further sins. Guarding the limbs from al-muharramat. And then he mentions two more things that go together. Muqawamatu fitani al-shubuhat wa fitani al-shahawat. And then, yani, resisting, struggling against, yani, jihad and nafs, struggling against the fitan of shubuhat and the fitan of shahawat. He mentions specifically struggling against the fitan, the trials of shubuhat, al-qadihati fi ulum al-iman, al-muda'ifati lahu. Yani, the shubuhat which have harmful effects on the knowledge base of iman. The knowledge base of iman. So iman has different aspects. From it, from the important aspects of iman, is that we have knowledge, the things that are necessary for iman. In addition to the actions of iman, and the ibadat of iman, and the akhlaq of iman. The knowledge base of iman is affected by shubuhat. And it is weakened by shubuhat. And shubahat is generally translated as doubts, suspicions and things like this. We want to say that what is intended here by shubahat, what is intended are false arguments. Arguments that are false, they are not true. But on their surface they may appear to be true. They may appear to be plausible. A person might say that makes sense, that's possible. But it's false. And because it seems plausible, possible, a person who doesn't have knowledge, they might believe it. And they begin to have doubts about the truth of Islam. Doubts about what we have learned in Islam. Doubts about what we have, what our aqidah is. What our akhlaq is. What our ibadah is. They might begin to have doubts about the laws of Islam. So the shubuhat, those false, batil, incorrect arguments that might appear on the surface to the person who doesn't have good knowledge, might appear yani possible, plausible. And then it begins to affect their mind and confuse them. And that's what we mean by shubuhat here. These shubuhat have a harmful effect on the knowledge base of Iman. And it weakens it because people begin to doubt what they have learned, what they know from the Quran and from the Sunnah, if they didn't learn well. والشهوات, and also the fitna of shahawat. المضاعفتي لإرادة الإيمان. يعني the shahawat, يعني the desires, inclinations to do, to engage in those things that Allah has made haram. Not all desires are evil. يعني a person has a desire to do good, to worship Allah, to give charity. But desires to do what Allah has prohibited, that's what we mean by shahawat. يعني to engage in things that a person is attracted to doing, but Allah has made it haram. These shahawat, they affect, they weaken the iradat al-iman. They weaken the will and the intent and the desires that are based upon iman. Iman, yani, develops in the human being a will and an intent and a desire to do good things. So, these shahawat weaken the desires of iman, the intent, the will of iman, the will to do what is, yani, what Allah has legislated. It becomes weakened by shahawat. And then he says, فَإِنَّ الْإِرَادَاتِ, and this part is also distorted in the translation. فَإِنَّ الْإِرَادَاتِ, he means here, iradat al-iman. Yani the will to do things that are based upon iman, that your iman causes you to be inclined to do, to desire to do, to intend to do. Those iradat of good, التي أصلها الرغبة في الخير ومحبته والسعي فيه. يعني the foundation of the iradat of iman is the desire to do good and the love of doing good and struggling يعني in doing good, striving to do good. This is the foundation of iradat al-iman. يعني the desire to do good and loving to do good and striving to do good. These iradat, yani intent, desire, will to do good, لا تتم إلا بترك إرادات ما ينافيها من رغبة النفس في الشر ومقاومتي النفس الأمارة بالسوء. يعني he said that these desires of iman, iradat al-iman, the intent and will to do good that's based on iman, which entails desiring to do good and loving to do good and striving to do good, they will not be completed and perfect except by abandoning the will and the desire to do things that oppose iman, that oppose these, yani the iradat of iman. You have to give up those things, yani meaning the desire of the nafs to engage in evil, in shar. You have to give up that in order to complete the iradat of iman. You have to give up the iradat of shar, of evil. You have to give up that. And then he said also you have to resist and struggle and fight against and nafs al-ammarat bisu, yani the nafs which commands a person to do evil. You have to resist that nafs, that thing that is in our own selves, that is enjoining upon us, commanding us, encouraging us to commit evil. We have to resist this. So the iradat of iman will not be complete and perfect. As much as a person wants to do good, it will not be complete and perfect unless they first give up the irada, the will to do evil. And they fight and resist the nafs within ourselves that is calling us to do evil. After this, the Shaykh, he says here, This is a statement of truth. وَمَتَى حُفِظَ الْعَبْدُ مِنَ الْوُقُوفِ فِتَنْ الشُّبُهَاتِ وَفِتَنَ الشَّهَوَاتِ تَمَّ إِمَانُهُ وَقَوْيَ يَقِينُهُ. Yani, whenever a person protects and preserves themselves from falling into the trials of shubuhat, yani those doubtful matters that are caused by false arguments. And when a person protects themselves from falling into the trials of shahawat, the lowly desires, inclinations to do evil, to do that which Allah has prohibited. Whenever a person protects themselves from these two things, shubuhat and shahawat, the iman will be completed and the yaqeen will be strengthened. And then, وَصَارَ مَثَلُ بُسْتَانِ إِمَانِهِ. The garden of his iman, the example or the likeness of the garden of that person's iman, will be as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 265th ayat. This is the parable or the likeness or the example of what that person's garden of iman will be like. He said, كَمَثَلِ جَنَّةٍ بِرَبْوَةٍ أَصَابَهَا وَابِلٌ فَآتَتْ أُكُلَهَا ضِعْفَيْنِ. That it will be the likeness of a garden that's on a high place. If a heavy rainfall falls upon that garden, it will bring forth its produce, yani multiplied in doubles, double the produce. فَإِنْ لَمْ يُصِبْهَا وَابِلٌ فَطَلْ. But if a heavy rainfall doesn't fall, then even a light rainfall, even a drizzle, even the dew, yani the moisture that's in the air in the morning, would be sufficient for it to produce. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And Allah is seeing all that you do. This garden, the likeness of it is what? It's a garden that's on a high place. And therefore it's going to be the first to receive the rain. If a heavy rain comes, it's going to double its produce. Even if a light rain comes, it's still going to produce. In any case, in every situation, it produces. That's the garden of the one who protects himself from the yani trials of shubuhat and shahawat. وَمَتَى كَانَ الْأَمْرُ بِالْأَقْسِ. And whenever the person's affair is the opposite of that, that is, that the nafs al-ammaru bisu, yani the nafs in the human being that commands him to do evil, overcomes him, conquers him. It takes control. And he falls into the fitan of shubuhat, the doubtful matters. Or the fitan of shahawat, the lower desires to do things that are prohibited. Or both of them. Yani a person either falls into yani the trial of shubuhat, because he doesn't have proper knowledge. Or he falls into the trial of shahawat, because he doesn't have strong iman and taqwa. And some people fall into both of them. Whenever that happens, and tabaqa alayhi hadha al-mathal, then this example that Allah gave in the following ayat, the following ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 266 ayat, he gave another example. And this is the example of the person who has fallen victim, who has let their nafs al-ammar bisu take over. And they have fallen to, yani, into, victim to the trials of shubuhat or shahawat. He said his example, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here, أَيَوَدُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن تَكُونَ لَهُ جَنَّةٌ مِن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ تَجْرِي مِن تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ لَهُ فِيهَا مِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Would any one of you like to have a garden that has in it dates and grapes and rivers flowing beneath it, and he has in it all kinds of thamarat, all kinds of fruits, yani a wonderful garden. فَأَصَابَهُ الْكِبْرُ. And then old age overtook him. He became old, he can't do anything anymore. وَلَهُ ذُرِّيَّةٌ دُعَفَاءُ. And his offspring, they're weak. They can't do anything. فَأَصَابَهَا إِعْصَارٌ فِيهِ نَارٌ فَاحْتَرَقَتْ. Then his garden with dates and grapes and all types of fruits with rivers flowing beneath them, yani was afflicted by a fierce whirlwind that has in it a fire. So the garden is burned up, destroyed completely. كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِ الْآيَاتِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So in this way, by this parable, Allah makes clear, yani his ayat, that perhaps you will reflect, contemplate. Here, I want to just mention that in the footnote in the Arabic edition, it mentions a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, hadith number 4538. And he mentions the sanad, yani from Ubayd ibn Umair. He said that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, one day was speaking to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked him about this particular ayat. Would one of you like to have a garden? Yani, that has within it dates and grapes and all types of fruits and rivers flowing beneath it. This ayat in the Quran, this parable. He said, what do you think is this ayat was revealed in reference to? And they said, Allahu A'lam. Umar became angry with them. He said, either say you know or you don't know. Then Ibn Abbas said, I have some idea of what this might mean, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Umar said, Ya Ibn Akhi, Kul. Yani, say what you have and don't think little of yourself. Ibn Abbas said, Duribat mathalan li'amal. Yani, this example, this parable has made, is in reference to deeds, to people's works. Yani, this garden that a person has means the fruits of their work, their obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would produce a garden like this. What all types of fruits and grapes and all types of things, with rivers flowing beneath it, it would be a tremendous garden. That's what, yani, Abdullah ibn Umar, Ibn Abbas said. Umar said to him, which amal, which type of deeds are you talking about? Ibn Abbas said, amal. Yani, I don't know, that's all I got to go with it. Then Umar said that this is an example, this ayat, this parable of this garden, is the example of a rajul ghani, a rich man, ya'mal bita'atillah, who is working in obedience to Allah. I mean, he's doing deeds of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ بَعَثَ اللَّهُ لَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Then Allah sent to him a shaitan. Sent to him a shaitan. فَعَمِلَ بِالْمَعَاسِ حَتَّى أَغْرَقَ عَمَالَهُ. He listened to the shaitan. He followed the shaitan. And he began to do acts of disobedience. After he was doing acts of obedience, he began to do acts of disobedience until his garden was destroyed completely. This ayat, this parable in this ayat, is the parable of a man who is doing good deeds in obedience to Allah, and this garden is the fruits of that, of those acts of worship, of obedience to Allah. But then a shaitan came to him, and he listened to it, he followed it, he obeyed it, and he started doing acts of disobedience till his garden was destroyed. This second parable is the parable of who? The one who allows their nafs, al-amaru bisu, to take over. The one who falls victim to the trials of shubuhat and shahwat. Then whatever they did of good for the sake of Allah will be destroyed by that. Sheikh Abdul Razak, Sheikh Abdul Razak has a beautiful commentary concerning this first part of this section. He says, this is an affair which the author is closing this section. The section in which he mentions the things which strengthen iman, the causes of increase of iman and growth of iman. This matter that he's closing this chapter with is the repulsion of the things that oppose iman, that have a harmful effect on iman. Or those things that, yani, affect iman in its foundation or its perfection. Yani, either destroy it completely or at least, yani, affects its perfection, decreases its perfection. So, the perfection of iman, the Shaykh says, كَمَا لَهُ الْوَاجِبُ أَوْ كَمَالُ كَمَالِهِ الْوَاجِبُ أَوْ كَمَالِهِ الْمُسْتَحَبُ. Yani, it will either destroy iman completely or would destroy its perfection. Yani, the perfection of iman that's from doing the obligatory duties of iman. Or the perfection of iman that is perfected by doing extra mustahab things. So there's iman that's completed and perfected by doing the wajibat, and there's iman that's completed and perfected by doing more than that, the mustahabat. So either a person's iman will be destroyed by these things completely, or at least the kamal, its perfection would be lessened, would be decreased. Either the kamal of al-wajib or kamal al-mustahab. It would be decreased. He said that a person should repulse these things, yani, and distance himself from them. And this, doing so, is from the greatest causes of being firm and established, yani, being steadfast in one's iman and increasing one's iman. He said that iman, just as it increases by ta'a, obedience, then likewise it's also increased by avoiding disobedience. And that is because disobedience, ma'asiyah, causes a decrease in iman. And therefore, leaving those acts of disobedience with the intent of getting near to Allah becomes an aspect of iman. If a person does obedience, it increases iman. If a person abandons disobedience for the sake of Allah, for getting near to Allah, then this also increases iman. Because this is a part of iman. Just as iman includes within it doing all acts of obedience, so likewise it also includes in it avoiding all acts of disobedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Min husni al-Islam, min husni Islam al-mar'i, tarkuhu ma la ya'ni." And from the goodness of Islam is that a person abandons, leaves off that which is of no concern to him. Abandons something. So here in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ called abandoning something Islam. And he called it amal, that this is a deed. Yani this is a good aspect of Islam, that a person abandons something. And the Prophet ﷺ said that a person, la yazni azani, hina yazni wa huwa mu'min. That a person, yani doesn't commit zina while they're in the act of committing that zina and being a mu'min at the same time. Because iman is lifted from the person when they're engaging in sin. And likewise, a person is not a mu'min at the time when they're stealing or at the time they're drinking khamr and so on to the end of the hadith. And the Prophet also said, as we mentioned recently, لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له. There's no iman for the person who doesn't have yani amana, who doesn't fulfill trust. He said these hadith and the hadith of this man of this type are many, which prove that iman is not just doing acts of obedience, but it's also leaving off the things that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as iman is increased with obedience, by doing acts of obedience, then likewise it's also increased by avoiding sin and distancing oneself from it if the person does that as a means of nearness to Allah and seeking the pleasure of Allah and out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentions the ayah from Surah An-Naziat, 79th Surah, 40 and 41. فَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَاهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. That as far as the one who fears the standing before his Rabb, the day of accounting, and therefore prohibits himself, yani from those things that are displeasing to Allah, yani controls his hawa, then indeed Jannah, it will be the refuge for him. And a person will enter Jannah by what? By abstaining from that which is displeasing to Allah. So avoiding the haram and distancing oneself from sins, this is from the things through which iman is strengthened and the person is yani improved and reformed and rectified and the nafs is purified. So just as these sins of various types cause sickness to the hearts and weakness to iman, so distancing oneself from them purifies the heart and rectifies one's iman. Then the Shaykh, he goes on to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that the Shaykh in the book, he's going back to the text of the book, he said that the Shaykh rahimahullah said, from amongst the most important elements of iman and strengthening of iman is that a person takes seriously, that they prepare their nafs to resist and to struggle and to fight against all of the things that contradict or negate iman from all the branches of disbelief and hypocrisy and the greater sins and the lesser sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah Al-Hujurat, 49th Surah, 7th ayat, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Indeed, Allah has what? Made iman beloved to you. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. And He has beautified it, adorned it in your hearts. وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرُ وَالْفُسُوقُ وَالْإِسْيَانِ. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. And Allah has made yani disbelief and yani the greater sins and the lesser sins something that is hated by you. Indeed, these, the people who Allah has given this gift to of loving iman and beautifying iman in their hearts and hating disbelief and kufr and isyan, these are those who are rightly guided. So, he said it is of necessity that a person work hard to distance oneself from these affairs, from disbelief and sins of all types. From amongst those sins that a person must distance himself from, the Shaykh says, from those things that contradict iman, aslihi wa asasihi. Some of them, yani, contradict iman in its foundation, the foundations of iman. And some of them, contradict or oppose the perfection of Iman. So avoiding, distancing oneself from these things, all of them, keeping oneself far away, removing oneself from these things, and resisting them, and warning, and being warned against, taking caution from falling into these things, all of them is what is necessary. And this, doing so, is from the greatest things that call to Iman and strengthen Iman. Then the Shaykh says that the author, rahimahullah, has made clear to us that in order to actualize or to realize or to achieve, yani, this state of opposing and distancing oneself from the sin, yani, a person must first abandon, abstain from the sin first. Person must abstain from, abandon, give up that which they are engaged in of sin. And they must have regret, feel remorse for these sins that they have given up. They must make sincere repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, 24th Surah, 31st Ayat, Tubu ila Allahi jami'an ayyuhal mu'minun la'allakum tuflihun. So repent, O believers, repent, all of you, repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that perhaps you will be successful. Meaning that indeed, yani, the one who turns to Allah will be successful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Tahrim, 66th Surah, 8th Ayat, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. O you who believe, repent to Allah with sincere repentance. So the believer who wants to be successful, who does all of those things that are required to strengthen and increase Iman, and also, yani, tries to avoid the things that oppose and contradict Iman, he said that person must repent to Allah from all of their sins. And then after they repent to Allah from their sins, after they abstain from them, and feel remorse for them, and express remorse for them, and ask Allah to forgive and pardon them from it, then they must begin working towards protecting their limbs. Yani, after they have repented, protecting their limbs from falling into those sins again, a second time or a third time, going back to them. So they must distance themselves from the mawatiniha, yani, from the places, the positions, the situations that cause a person to fall into those sins. Not just make resolve that I'm not going to do this, but stay away from the things that lead to it. Close the openings that lead to it. And then strive with a full, complete striving against oneself to protect oneself from those sins. The Shaykh goes on to say, please remind me, Allahu Musta'an. Then the Shaykh says, and the person must also do everything they can to resist the trials of shubuhat that affect the knowledge base of Iman and that weaken it, and the trials of shahawat, desires to do that which is displeasing to Allah, which Allah has made haram, which weaken the will and the intent and the desires of the intent and the will of the things of Iman to do good. The person must, yani, is in need at this point in order to protect their deen and to save themselves, yani, from the destruction. They must take caution from these two types of fitna: the fitna of shubuhat, the doubtful matters, and the fitna of shahawat, the lower desires to engage in that which is displeasing to Allah. It is the fitna of shubuhat, yani, those incorrect, false arguments that might appear to be plausible. It is the shubuhat, these shubuhat, that enter upon the heart, wrong, yani, conceptions of things that are incorrect, and deviant understandings of things, and misguided information that begins to challenge the correct knowledge that a person has and causes sickness to the heart. Yani, now there is a conflict between the correct knowledge and the false knowledge, and false ideas, and deviant understandings, and incorrect information, false information, fabricated hadith, and just opinions and ideas that people made up that have no basis in Islam, in the Quran or in the Sunnah. This begins to challenge the correct knowledge, and this causes sickness to the heart. As far as the trials of shahawat, they corrupt a person's righteous deeds. The shahawat. and they corrupt and spoil a person's efforts to get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So instead of the heart having in it the desire and the intent and the inclination to do good, and yani, then this is replaced by what? The intent or the desire to do, yani, the things that Allah has prohibited. So again, yani, the intent to do good and the inclination to do good and the desire to do good is challenged by these evil desires, yani, of shahawat. So the person here is in need of repulsing from theirself the shubuhat as well as the shahawat. And the shaitan, when he insists upon the human being to corrupt them, to cause them to deviate, to turn away from the correct path of the deen of Allah, he enters upon them from these two ways. If he finds a person has a level of consciousness of their deen and practicing their deen, tadayyun, and they love to do good and they love ibadah and obedience to Allah, then he will enter upon them by shubuhat. Because he knows that this person is upon worshiping Allah and obedience to Allah. So he comes from a different way. He comes from shubuhat, he brings some argument that sounds reasonable, even though it's false, and he confused them with it, if they didn't have good knowledge. If he finds that the person has fallen short in their tadayyun, in their state of yani, practice of Islam, that they are weak in this, then he enters upon them with shahawat, with desires to do corruption and evil, to encourage them to do evil. He doesn't, the enemy of Allah, the enemy of the human being, yani the enemy of Allah and the enemy of the human being, shaitan, he doesn't care how he destroys a person. What is important is that he destroys them, that he causes them to deviate from the straight path, either by the desires that destroy a person or by the doubtful matters that corrupt their mind and their heart and their knowledge. The enemy of Islam, the enemy of Allah and the enemy of the human beings, he doesn't care in which valley you are destroyed. What is important is that he destroys you, that he causes you to go outside of the straight path. And then he closes this by saying the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 17th Ayat, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. The shaitan is saying that he will come to them, yani from their right, I mean from in front of them and from behind them and from the right of them and from the left of them. And he will come from every angle. And you, and then he says, yani, and you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not find most of them being thankful. Meaning you will find that I'm going to get them. They're going to be disobedient to you. They're going to follow me. In some of the tafsirs, it's mentioned that Ibn Abbas said concerning this ayat, that shaitan la yastati'u an ya'tiya min fawqihim li'an la yahulu bayna al-abd wa bayna rahmatillahi ta'ala. The shaitan will not, he will come from the right and from the left, from the front and the back, he will not be able to come from above them. So that he would not be able to prevent, yani come between the rahmah of Allah descending upon his abd. After this, the author goes on to describe, yani, the condition of the abd, al-mu'min al-muwaffaq, yani the abd, the believing person who has been given success by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has been given success, yani, in terms of their knowledge and to act upon that knowledge to do the things that are pleasing to Allah. He says, فَالْعَبْدُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُوَفَّقُ, yani the worshipper of Allah, the believing worshipper of Allah, who Allah has given success to. Because there are some worshippers of Allah, there are some believers, yani who Allah has not given success to, successful. They didn't get good knowledge, they didn't seek knowledge, they didn't go to the right sources for knowledge, or they didn't act upon their knowledge. In whatever the case may be, Allah didn't give tawfiq to everyone. And Allah gives, yani, His fadl to whoever He wills. Because He knows best who, yani, will benefit from it. And who wouldn't appreciate it. فَالْعَبْدُ الْمُؤْمِنَ الْمُوَفَّقُ لَا يَزَالُ يَسْعَى فِي أَمْرَيْنِ, will continue to strive and struggle in two affairs. Yani, in two areas. These two areas, yani, are the summary of, yani, this section, the second section of the book. أحدهما تحقيق أمور الإيمان وفروعه وتحقق بها علما وعملا وحالا. Yani, the first area that one must continuously, ongoing, non-stop, strive in, that is the realization, the actualization of the foundations, the fundamentals of Iman and its branches. Yani, the implementation, the actualization of the fundamentals of Iman that we talked about in detail in the first Fasl al-Awwal, the first chapter of the book, when we talk about the definition of Iman, the fundamentals of Iman and the branches of Iman. The realization of these in terms of the knowledge, the ilm, and the amal, the actions, and the hal, the condition of a person. Shaykh Abdul Razak, in his explanation or commentary on this particular point, he mentions that ilman wa amalan wa halan means aqidatan wa ibadatan wa akhlaqan. Yani, ilman means yani the aqidah, yani striving in the first area of the realization of Iman and the branches of Iman, in terms of the knowledge, meaning the aqidah, that's based on knowledge. And in terms of the actions, meaning the ibadah. And in terms of the person's condition, their state, yani in terms of their akhlaq, their character, manners, and morals. And he said that a person must strive to actualize, to realize the fundamentals of Iman and the branches of Iman in terms of knowledge, the aqidah, in terms of action, the ibadah, and in terms of their hal, yani their akhlaq. And we mentioned all of these things in the definitions of Iman that the Shaykh gave earlier, that Iman includes aqidah and ibadah and akhlaq. So there's aqidah of Iman, and there's ibadah of Iman, a'mal of Iman, and there's also akhlaq of Iman. The author, he says, وَثَانِي, the second area, after the realization of the fundamentals and branches of Iman, he says, السَّعْيُ فِي دَفْعِ مَا يُنَافِيهَا, which we just got finished talking about. Yani, striving and struggling also, in addition to realizing, yani actualizing the fundamentals and branches of Iman, that a person strives to repulse everything that opposes or contradicts Iman. مَا يُنَافِيهَا وَيَنْقُضُهَا أَوْ يُنْقِصُهَا مِنَ الْفِتْنَ الظَّاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنَ. So that a person must strive, right, to oppose, to repel everything that contradicts Iman, and everything that nullifies Iman, or diminishes, decreases it. Yani, everything that opposes Iman, and as well, everything that either destroys Iman outright, or at least, yani, decreases it. Yani, yanqudhu, yani, destroys it, nullifies it, undoes it. Aw yunqisuhu, or diminishes it and decreases it from the trials that are apparent and that are not apparent. Yani, al-fitn al-zahir al-batina. The Prophet ﷺ said, seek refuge in Allah from al-fitn, ma zahara minha wa ma batan. Yani, seek refuge from al-fitn. Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Ibad said, and this is a tremendous dua that every Muslim should be engaged in reciting. Yani, seek refuge in Allah from al-fitn. Fitn, yani ma zahara minha wa ma batan. Whether it's the fitn that is apparent, that's seen, or the fitn that is not apparent. Seek refuge in Allah from all trials. Then the author says, وَيُدَاوِي مَا قَصَّرَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِ. Yani, the awwal and thani means, the first one is realizing the usul and branches of Iman. The second one is struggling against whatever opposes it, or destroys it, or decreases it. These are the two matters that we're talking about, that a person has to be constantly engaged in the whole of their life. He says, وَيُدَاوِي مَا قَصَّرَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْأَوَّلِ وَمَا تَجَرَّأَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الثَّانِي بِالتَّوْبَةِ النَّصُوحَ. So the person treats, يُدَاوِي, يعني like a doctor treats a patient with medicine, with dawa. يعني he treats whatever he has omitted or fallen short in from the first thing, يعني the actualization and realization of the fundamentals and the branches of Iman, he treats that, and he also treats whatever he has committed, the actions that he engaged in from the second matter, that is, yani the things that oppose Iman, or destroy Iman, or decrease Iman. Yani, how does he treat his shortcomings in both of these areas? He said, yani that he treats them, he addresses them. And he said, بِالتَّوْبَ النَّسُوحَ, by repenting, especially from the second one. Repentance, sincere repentance, from the sins that one has engaged in. وَتَدَارُكِ الْأَمْرَ قَبْلَ فَوَاتِهِ. Yani, repentance from the sins that we have committed. وَتَدَارُكِ الْأَمْرَ قَبْلَ فَوَاتِهِ, and then taking steps to catch, yani to prevent the falling into the sins before it's too late. Yani, in other words, catching yourself before you fall into sin. If you fell into sin, repenting from it. And then the other thing is to try to prevent yourself. Yani to try to take the steps that are necessary to prevent yourself from falling into it before it happens, before it's too late. And here the author, rahimahullah, mentions the ayat in reference to this, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 201st ayat, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Yani that those who have taqwa, the people of taqwa, إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ, if an suggestion or a yani impulse or a thought comes to them from shaitan, if they are affected by something from shaitan, تَذَكَّرُوا, then they remember Allah. Yani they remember yani the reward of Allah and the punishment of Allah, and the promise of Allah's reward and the threat of Allah's punishment and the commands of Allah and the prohibition. They remember Allah, and therefore Allah causes them to be able to see clearly. Yani to see what they were getting ready to fall into from shaitan, from the suggestion of shaitan. Yani those who have taqwa, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ, a thought, a urge of a prompting to do some sin or to do something wrong afflicted them, تَذَكَّرُوا, they remember Allah. And then Allah causes them to see what it is and to prevent them from falling into it. So here the author is mentioning two things. The first is that if we fell into a sin, to repent from it. And the second is to try to catch ourselves, to prevent ourselves from falling into it before it's too late, before we actually fall into it. Yani the Shaykh, he mentions some commentary on this. Also, Allahu musta'an. Okay, so probably, Allahu musta'an. We'll take a couple of minutes, inshallah. Maybe we'll finish some of this next week, bi idhnillahi ta'ala. We can't go too far with this. In any case, yani, okay, so instead of reading the Shaykh's commentary, let me just finish reading the text of the book. We'll come back to the commentary next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and then we'll go to the new topic next week. Just for the sake of time, here, at this point, after mentioning this ayah, the translation ends, but the book doesn't end. So let me just read what the author wrote that's not mentioned in the translation from this point. He said, after mentioning this ayat, yani after mentioning that the believer who Allah has given successful is striving in two areas, that is, to realize the fundamentals and branches of Iman, and also to strive to repulse everything that opposes it, or destroys it, or causes a defect in it, and that is by sincere repentance, or, yani, catching oneself, doing the things to prevent them to yourself from falling into sin, yani, before you fall into it. And then he mentioned this ayat. After that ayat, he says, yani the explanation of the ayat, he says, those who have taqwa, if they are touched by a ta'ifun, yani a thought or suggestion or prompting from shaitan, they remember, and therefore they begin to see. Yani they remember Allah, and they begin to see. The Shaykh says the meaning of that, which is omitted from the translation, he said, مُبَصِّرُونَ الْخَلَلَ الَّذِي وَقَعُوا فِيهِ. Then they actually begin to see clearly, yani the defect, the fault, the flaw, the shortcoming, the sin that they have fallen into. وَالنَّقْسَ الَّذِي أَصَابَهُمْ مِنْ طَائِفِ الشَّيْطَانِ. And they begin to also, yani, see clearly the defect that they have been, or the harm that they have been afflicted with by the suggestion or the prompting of a shaitan, the one who is the worst enemy of the human being. So if they see, if Allah causes them to see, تَدَارَكُوا هَذَا الْخَلَلْ بِسَدِّهِ وَهَذَا الْفَتْقَ بِرَتْقِهِ فَعَادُوا إِلَى حَالِهِمْ الْكَامِلَةِ وَعَادَ أَدُوهُمْ حَصِيرًا ذَلِيلًا. So when Allah causes them to see, yani what their enemy, the great enemy is shaitan, what he has tried to cause them to fall into, when he causes them to see, then they catch themselves, yani, from going, falling full way into it, and they, yani, close the gap, the khalal that they have, that shaitan caused them to slip into, they close the gap. And the break, or the tear, yani the whatever happened, yani the mistake that they made, then they fix it. And so they return to their condition of, yani, completion and perfection. They return to a good state with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their enemy is shaitan, goes away exhausted, fatigued, and, yani, despised. Then he says, yani, what follows in the ayat, the next ayat that follows in relation to the ayat, He says, وَإِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ يعني the brothers of the shayateen, meaning the evil, corrupt, يعني sinful people, يَمُدُّونَهُمْ فِي الْغَيْءِ ثُمَّ لَا يُقْصِرُونَ يعني the shayateen plunge them deeper and deeper into error, and they, the shayateen, will not fall short in trying to cause them to go further and further astray. This is mentioned in the same surah, Surah Al-A'raf, 7th surah, 202nd ayah. The shaykh explains this by saying, the shayateen, لا تقصروا عن إغوائهم وإيقائهم في أشراك الحلاك. That the shayateen do not fall short. Yani they don't leave any way off from the ways of causing them to err, to go astray, and to fall into the traps of destruction. That's what the shayateen do. They don't fall short in causing the human being to go astray. وَالْمُسْتَجِيبُونَ لَهُمْ لَا يُقْصِرُونَ عَنْ طَاعَةِ أَعْدَائِهِمْ وَالْإِسْتِجَابَةِ لِدَعْوَاتِهِمْ حَتَّى يَقَعُوا فِي الْحَلَاقِ وَيَحِقَّ عَلَيْهِمْ الْخَسَارُ. Then he said, and those who respond to the shaitan, the evil corrupt people who respond to the call of shaitan, they also don't fall short in their obedience to their enemy, shaitan, and in their responding to the call of their enemy, shaitan, to the extent that they then fall into destruction. Yani they don't fall short in responding, in obeying shaitan, until they actually fall into destruction and become deserving of of the loss that they fall into. And then the shaykh closes this chapter with this supplication, and we'll close with this, and next week inshallah we bring a little bit of the commentary that the shaykh mentioned concerning this and go to the next chapter. The shaykh closes with the supplication, Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman. O Allah, make iman beloved to us. وَزَيِّنْهُ فِي قُلُوبِنَا. And make it adorned and beautiful in our hearts. And make it beautified to us. وَقَرِّ إِلَيْنَا الْكُفْرُ وَالْفُسُوقُ وَالْأَسْيَانِ. And make hated to us disbelief and sins, whether the greater of them or the lesser of them. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الرَّاشِدِينَ. And make us to be of those who are rightly guided. بِفَضْلِكَ وَمِنَّتِكَ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Yani by your mercy, by your generosity and your kindness, indeed you are the all-knowing and the all-wise. This is, everything that we read from that point is omitted from the translation. This is what the shaykh closes with, these two ayats and the explanation of how shaitan is making every effort, the shayateen making every effort to cause a person to go astray and to fall into total destruction. And the corrupt, evil, sinful people, they hear and obey. And they go all the way. And they do whatever shaitan calls them to until they become deserving of the destruction that they fall into. And the shaykh closes with this tremendous dua, that came from the Quran, obviously from Surah 2, from Surah Hujurat. Naam, Surah Hujurat. Oh Allah, make us to love iman and beautify in our hearts, and make us to hate kufr wal fusuq wal isyan, and make us of those, by your mercy and your favor, make us of those who are rightly guided. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خير. نعم.